This is Backseat Box Office, episode number 243, for the weekend of October 9th through October 11th. Hey, this is Jeff.
And this is Art.
And we are the Backseat Producers, and you are listening to a Backseat Box Office. Apologies to our faithful listeners. We took, what, 2 weeks off?
2 weeks off.
2 weeks off. So we are back. No pod fading here, at least not now, or ever. So, Art, how are things in Texas?
Things are going well. I know that I missed one because I had family in town and there was a wedding. And so that got me very, very busy because I was very instrumental in helping the wedding get pulled off. And I don't remember what the other one was. I think it was just bad scheduling. But anyway, It is what it is. And we move on and we're still here and still plugging away.
Yes. And speaking of plugging away, let's talk about how the box office did last week. So this is for the weekend of October 2nd through October 4th. So here's our top five. At number one, we have The Martian, which came in at a healthy $54.3 million. At number two, we have Hotel Transylvania 2. Yes, there is a 2 this time. At $33.2 million. At number three, Sicario at $12.1 million. At number four, The Intern with $11.7 million, and at number five, Maze Runner : The Scorch Trials at $7.8 million. And there's your top five. A couple other notes. The Walk, which is, I think it's a Robert Zemeckis-directed film about the guy who walked between...
Yes, okay. The World Trade Centers.
It only opened on 448 screens, but it came at $1.5 million. So, it, you know, with a per screen average of 3,483, it did fairly well, but we'll see when I get, you know, it's got to be releasing to more screens in a couple weeks.
Or yeah, probably I think that one will widen up for sure.
All right. So anything to say about the top five?
That's a really nice, strong opening for The Martian. Yeah. You know, for science fiction fare, $50 million, that's good. We'll have to see how it does next week. But that's a good start. I like it.
Yeah, it's a very good start, and I've had more than one person saying that I have to run out and see it in the theater. I guess the book was pretty popular.
Yeah, and I know they were planning on seeing it while everyone was in town for Sausage Fest last week. So I think they'll be doing an episode on it that will probably come up in about, I think they're about a month out now. Maybe like 3 weeks.
Right.
So I'll listen to the episode and decide then whether I want to see it or not, because that's how I am. I'll listen to the show whether or not I've seen the movie. I let it help me decide whether or not to see the movie a lot of times.
Right. And on a related note, have you seen Interstellar yet?
No.
Okay. That's all right. I'm not shaming you. At least not on the outside, only on the inside. No. A lot of people are... Well, I don't want to say a lot of people. There have been some articles talking about that this is better than Interstellar because the ending that Interstellar kind of turned off some people.
Okay.
Actually, a friend at work that I might need to start not talking to this person because she just thought Interstellar from front to back was silly. Yeah. But anyways, I'm getting more excited about The Martian, so maybe I will have to see it. And I think I saw online that there's actually a subgenre of movies of people trying to find Matt Damon's character in a movie, whether it's Saving Private Ryan, I forget the second one, and then this one with The Martian, where they, you know, he's on a whole other planet now. But anyways.
Right.
Okay.
I saw that blurb, and it was like, the people of the world have spent entirely too much money trying to save. What was the other movie? I totally saw that meme. It's like, stop saving them, just let them die. But anyway, yeah, it looks really interesting. I am interested. I've heard a lot of good things too, but I just don't know. You know, if anything, I think I'm more likely to end up seeing Hotel Transylvania 2 before I see The Martian, just because of, you know, family.
Well, there's external forces at work there.
There are. There's right. very strong external forces you have seen in pre-show.
Right.
Force probably of even, nature.
Probably even stronger than a storm on Mars. All right, so let's transition over to new movies coming out in the theater this weekend. So, Art, why don't you tell us about the one movie coming out wide release this weekend?
All right, we have one big movie coming out in wide release, Pan. Pan is getting a little panned. It is 36% rotten on the tomato meter, and I just had it pop up, come up, and ruin my life. But 97% of people want to see it. Are you serious? There we go. 97% want to see it. The story of an orphan who is spirited away to the magical Neverland. There he finds both fun and dangers and ultimately discovers his identity to become the hero who will forever be known as Peter Pan. Rated PG for fantasy, action, violence, language, and some thematic material. Genres action, adventure, science fiction, and fantasy. Directed by Joe Wright. Written by Jason Fuchs and J.M. Barrie. Runtime of 1 hour and 51 minutes. So we got Levi Miller as Peter Pan. We got Hugh Jackman as Blackbeard. Rooney Mara as Tiger Lily. Amanda Seyfried as Mary. Garrett Hedlund as Hook.
So you're telling me there's two pirates in this one?
Apparently.
Interesting. Interesting. Yeah, this looks like a pass for me.
Really, I've seen the previews. It looks pretty good. I mean, like, it looks, the visuals look very good. I don't know how they'll do with, you know, the storyline and whatnot, but visually it looks very good. And I like Peter Pan stories, so I could be in for this.
With the exception of that very last comment, you could have said the exact same thing about Jupiter, was it Rising or Ascending?
Jupiter Ascending had very nice visuals. Yes, right. Yes it did. And that fell down hard.
All right, so there is a reviewer that threw a shot at this movie that is right in the Art Santos wheelhouse. You ready?
Sure.
Eric Henderson from Slant Magazine. Joe Wright's film could fuel an entire series of incredulous episodes of How Did This Get Made podcast.
Nice.
So, good job, sir. You're right in the middle of our demo here. The demo of me and Art.
Right, exactly.
All right. So, I guess that is it for movies coming out in wide release. And the next thing I was going to talk about, I realized I closed. So, let me... okay, so let's... You know, October... Sometimes we get some good movies, so I was just going to throw out like a little mini roadmap of movies coming out in October, so you can kind of either circle or uncircle your calendar, as it were, even though I'm finding it really hard to think that I've ever seen anyone uncircle anything. Okay, so you have this weekend is Pan, and on the indie front, the Steve Jobs movie with Fassbender as the... I guess title character. Right. It's going to be opening in four theaters in New York and LA. We have next weekend for the 16th, we have Bridge of Spies, which is a Spielberg / Tom Hanks spy thriller. And we have Crimson Peak, which is Del Toro's next movie. And then a movie that I've been cornered by both kids and saying, we're going to see this. You do not have a choice. Goosebumps. So, and I didn't realize that would be a thing. I've never seen any of my kids with a Goosebumps book.
Right.
Or I think there's been like TV movies of Goosebumps. But and then let's talk about October 23rd, because this is a, pardon the pun, a monster weekend for new movies. We have Burnt, Gem and the Holograms, The Last Witch Hunter with Vin Diesel, Another Paranormal Activity, : The Ghost Dimension, and then Rock the Casbah. The only, I've seen trailers for three of these movies, Gem and the Holograms, I guess it's updated enough to where YouTube kind of plays a part in explaining their origin story. The Last Witch Hunter just looks like a vehicle for Vin Diesel to say everything except I am Groot in a movie. And the last one is actually a Bill Murray movie where I guess he's like a music producer out in the Middle East or something like that. So, So that's going to be a very busy weekend. And then the last weekend of October, we have Our Brand is Crisis. Don't know anything about that, but I think it's a topical movie or political or something like that. And then we have Scout's Guide to the Zombie Apocalypse, which I haven't heard anything about. So that's kind of your October. And just to fudge a little bit, we are the first week in November, next James Bond movie, Spectre, comes out with the Peanuts movie. So yeah, sorry, Art. You'll be at the Peanuts.
Yeah. You know, I loved Peanuts as a kid.
Yeah, me too.
But I don't read them anymore. What I still do love is Calvin and Hobbes.
Hmm.
I still read those from time to time. I pull them down off the shelf. They still make me laugh. The Vin Diesel Witch Hunter thing. I had not heard about this until just today. I actually watched a video of Vin Diesel. Vin Diesel was at the Nerdist studio.
Mm-hmm.
And did you see this video?
No.
Okay, so there's a video out there. It's a little selfie video. Vin Diesel talking to his phone. He posted it up there. And he talks about being at the Nerdist studio. And he had just got done playing D&D 5th edition. And he had an absolute blast. And he played a witch hunter. And it was the GM of the group. I forget the guy's name. I'm sure you'd know it because you keep up on those things more than I do. But he had made him a custom class to play in 5th edition. And I didn't even realize the whole reason for that was the Witch Hunter movie coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Because I saw that video before I saw or heard about the Witch Hunter movie coming out. So now I have to go watch that trailer when we're all done and see what that's all about. I'm sure he just plays a person who hunts witches, but we'll see.
Right.
So you'll have to go find that video of Vin Diesel raving about playing D&D 5th edition. It was pretty good.
Yeah, I knew that he was a D&D player back in the day.
Right. Yeah. I thought it was more interesting that he was doing, A, he was doing 5th edition, and B, he was doing it at the Nerdist studio.
Right. Okay, so now let's move over to share time. Art, what have you been watching?
Okay, I have watched a few things. I actually watched Sky Captain and the World of Tomorrow when the family was in town for the wedding. And I had seen it before. I probably saw it at least twice before. Once I saw it in the theaters, and then I saw it on television one time. And then I had bought it, and I'd never actually watched it again. And then we had people over, and we were just throwing things on, you know, to kind of fill the background. And then everybody kind of got roped into watching Sky Captain and the World of Tomorrow. It has not aged well. I mean, I know it's supposed to be pulpy, but I was so enamored with it when it first came out that I really didn't see kind of how... I think it was a little too cheesy acting. They were kind of going for a pulp feel, and I think they overdid it a little. I definitely think there are other movies that have done it better. I also watched G.I. Joe Retaliation with The Rock, the new G.I. Joe,
mm-hmm.
and I enjoyed it much better than the first one. I actually then went on to watch... I am blanking. I forgot to write it down, but it was another movie with The Rock in it. And
Tooth Fairy?
No, it was action-y as well. And nope, I completely lost it. And that's fine. It is what it is. And that's all I've watched. Two Rock movies and the Sky Captain World of Tomorrow, and I can't even remember what the other Rock movie was. That's really bugging me. You know what? Getting old sucks.
You don't have to tell me.
Yeah, I know. I went and watched all the trailers for... I was trying to get Brittany excited about Jessica Jones. So we watched all the little teaser trailers that have been coming out from Netflix. There's, I think, three of them at this point. One of them has absolutely nothing. It's as teasery as teasery gets. Because it's just, you know... It looks like the opening credits imagery, and then Jessica Jones is coming. And the other two are a little more entertaining. So I'm even more excited for that. But I think that will wrap up my share time.
All right. Well, it's been a while. So I was volunteered, kind of like, you know, and everyone else took one step back instead of me taking one step forward, to take my daughter and her friend to go see Maze Runner: The Scorch Trials. This is the first time I think that I've seen the second movie in a series without watching the first one. And I, you know, I understand Maze Runner, kind of the concept behind Maze Runner, but I was kind of lost at some point until everyone started running, and then you kind of, then it, you know, it all kind of clicks in a little bit. But I didn't see, they didn't really explain what the Scorch was, and there weren't any trials, so.
Well, the Scorch was the desert, and the trials were the stuff that happened in the desert.
Yes, and there, I mean, there was a good zombie chase scene. So if you're ever, if you ever wanted to know if, like, all the contestants for American Ninja Warrior turn into zombies, what kind of chase that would be like, it's pretty much the chase in this one. That there is nothing that they can't traverse, these zombies. Minor spoiler, there's a part where they have to go into an abandoned city and they have to, like, climb up a destroyed building. And it was very suspenseful because, you know, the girl falls and she's on this window. So the window's like the floor and it's starting to crack, kind of thing. But there really weren't a lot of twists. I was kind of taken aback at seeing Alan Tudyk playing a drug lord kind of guy. So yeah, I don't know if I'm going to go back and watch the original one. I mean, there weren't like any great performance or kind of thing. I mean, this is kind of plot driven more than, you know, character story or that kind of thing. But there was a fair number of things that really didn't make that much sense. They're just trying to get you to, you know, in this story that goes from A to B to C, they're skipping letters just to get to Z at the end, which ends very much like Hunger Games, where, you know, they have to go get somebody kind of thing.
Right.
So it wasn't that bad, and I enjoyed it. And the girls, they love Dylan O'Brien, who's the main character in this one. And I guess that, you know, he has a fan following because he's on Teen Wolf on MTV. But so that was one movie. I don't know if I could really recommend it, but that was one that I watched. And then a couple DVDs that I got from the library. The first one I watched was The Kingsman.
Oh.
Okay. Now, a lot has been said about The Kingsman. And really, what I mean by a lot is that a couple podcasts I listened to had problems with it. And I was enjoying it. I was enjoying Colin Firth as a badass super spy. And the kid was actually good in it, even though he had a weird name, which now I'm not remembering. One of those weird English nicknames. As I sound like a provincial American. But there was, I think that there, someone was miscast in this movie. And this might be sacrilege, but I think Samuel Jackson was miscast in this movie.
How so?
Just because his character was supposed to be an internet millionaire. Kind of like if Tiger Woods was a megalomaniac supervillain, okay, kind of thing. And I had a hard time buying it. Because he was always wearing these New York Yankees baseball caps, so he was trying to look maybe a little hip hop, maybe.
Right.
I don't know. I just thought they could get someone better. You know, I like Samuel Jackson a lot, but it was just, you know, maybe someone younger. And you know, when I think of internet millionaires, I don't think of someone as old as Samuel Jackson is.
Okay, what about, like, who's that one guy? Because Sam Jackson's what? He's early 50s at this point?
That I don't know. So
okay. I'd probably put him in his early 50s, mid-50s at the top. You know who I think of? Internet millionaire, who's probably, who's been around for a while, made his money at this point some time ago. Who's that guy who owns the, is it the Mavericks? The guy
Mark,
who
you're talking about, Mark Cuban,
right? Then he started an internet radio, mm-hmm, like a college radio internet thingy that he sold, and that's kind of how he made his millions. And And that guy's what? He's probably late 40s, early 50s now at this point, because that all went down, like, at this point, what, 20 years ago?
Samuel Jackson was born in 1948. So he's going to be, in 3 years, he's going to be 70.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, okay.
So, but
clean,
you know,
living.
Yeah, but he doesn't, you know, he doesn't look 67.
No, he does not. All
but,
right. Okay, he's okay. Too old.
Yeah.
Get him out of there.
Well, I
make
mean,
him it, retire.
There was one problem that I had with the movie that almost made me want to turn it off. And there's a scene in the movie. It's the church scene. And have you seen The Kingsman?
I have not.
Okay, so and especially for anyone that's listening to this that hasn't seen The Kingsman, the church scene, they definitely went for a certain tone, and it reminded me that yes, I'm watching the guy who directed Kick-Ass, and it just seemed really out of place for me.
Okay.
So, and it's not, you know, I don't have, I'm sure I don't have to say this to you, but yeah, you can't have kids, you know, because my daughter wants to see this because she thinks it looks like a fun movie, and I can't show it to her because
right.
It gets pretty graphic.
Yeah.
But with that being said, the ending of the movie kind of brought me back, just the way that. Not necessarily the absolute ending of the movie, but the last act I thought was really
well,
entertaining for me.
Then this just means that, you know, in a year you'll DVR it off of FX and then she can watch it.
Right.
Because
right, and they might have to cut that whole part out.
Right. Right. They'll butcher it, but here's something you can digest.
You know? Right.
I feel comfortable letting you watch this.
So
otherwise, you'll have to watch it when you move out.
So, you know, I think the proper frame of mind is that you're watching a comic book movie and not a spy movie.
Right.
Kind of thing.
Okay.
So, I definitely enjoyed it, and I think the pluses outweighed the minuses for this one. So, it's definitely a recommend, but there is some warnings that I would say along with this one. Okay. The third movie that I watched was Whiplash. Now, there was a point where I wanted to be a drummer, not necessarily a jazz drummer, and this is about jazz music and jazz drumming. And, you know, it was nominated for an Oscar, and J.K. Simmons won the Best Supporting Actor for this role, and he definitely deserves it. He is the best thing about this movie.
J.K. Simmons is J. Jonah Jameson?
J. Jonah Jameson. He's also on those Farmers Insurance commercials.
Right. I love those commercials.
Yeah. He is so good.
Juno.
Mm-hmm. He was also in Juno. He is so good. And I think if he wasn't in it, I don't think I would have liked this movie. And I'm starting to realize that, you know, some critics are saying that Miles Teller is the next John Cusack. I don't know. He has like zero charisma for me.
Yeah, that is quite a statement of who you're making to me. I will kick someone out a window.
Yeah, yeah, because I've seen a couple of his movies, and I really wasn't rooting too much for the guy, but I don't know. I thought he kind of did an average performance in this one, because I mean the movie's basically him and J.K. or J.K. Simmons. But I definitely enjoyed it, and I haven't been this tense in a movie in a long time. And the ending of this movie is really good too. So I was definitely emotional during this movie. So they did a good job, with this one. So I would definitely recommend Whiplash. Okay. And that's it for movies. But, my son and I, we watched the, season premiere of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So glad that's back. And, my son actually, I had to lay with him in bed. He's a 12-year-old now, but he actually got scared during the premiere of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Yeah, which it doesn't take much for him.
Right.
So they're definitely doing a good job on the new big bad that is in season 3 of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So, yeah, it's good times for Marvel fans right now.
Yeah. Okay, so it was bugging me so much. I went and I looked through The Rock's filmography on IMDb. And I actually came across something else I had watched. So I now, the last time we talked to now, watched three movies with The Rock in it. So I watched G.I. Joe Retaliation. We did end up just buying Area 51, which I watched in its entirety at least twice now. But the movie that I missed that I watched that I really enjoyed was the Hercules movie.
Really? Okay.
Yes, it's up on Netflix, so I watched that one and I really enjoyed it. I was sad it didn't do as well when it was up at the theaters, because I thought they did a really good job with the story, of how they portrayed it, how it came across. They even did, so he's Hercules, okay? And, you know, he's got the whole cast of characters who followed him around in the Greek myths at one point or another. And they're just like this mercenary band. And, you know, there is the young guy of the group, he's basically like a bard. He goes around telling the story of Hercules. But every time he's telling the story, he's always embellishing it. He's always, you know, telling it, you know, better and making it larger than life, and just keeps retelling the story. And, you know, they talk about the trials, the 12 labors. And in one of the things I really like they did, you know, they tell the perspective of the laborers, and it's always just Hercules. At the end of the movie, they do this really neat animation where they go through the trials again, and they show how all his friends were there and the parts they played, and how you can see what got left out to make the legend better. And I just really, I really enjoyed the movie. It was really good. It's something I would actually watch again. I enjoyed it that much.
Wow. Okay. Duly noted.
Yeah.
All right. So I think that wraps up share time. So now we can get the news. So, Art, what's your first news story?
All right. My first news story, why Rick Moranis turned down the Ghostbusters. So I caught sight of this, and my first thought was, we have talked about this in the past. He basically retired after the death of his wife. Well, it turns out that's a internet rumor, basically. He still works, but he just doesn't do anything like that puts a bigger spotlight on him. Or, you know, he's doing voice work, comedy albums. He does a lot of writing, but he's not doing big on-screen performances anymore. So he kind of retired from that big spotlight, but he's still kind of working in the industry. But really, he said, the quote is, "I wish them well. I hope it's terrific, but it just makes no sense to me. Why would I do just one day of shooting on something I did 30 years ago? It didn't appeal to me." So they say it's not a bad thing. You know, it lets them focus. It's a reboot, and there's a bit of a passing of the torch, but the less they have to touch on, the less they have to make connections to the old touchstone, the easier it will be to transition to the new, is basically what the article is saying. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was interesting. So, and if he's done some comedy albums, I really should go check those out, because I really thought he had just completely just dropped off the face of the earth and retired.
All right. All right. So my first news story is that there is this thing called the Paramount Vault, which I guess Paramount is starting to put movies up on YouTube that you can watch for free. Now, some of these obviously are not going to be new releases or very popular movies, but some of them... some of them are, you know, they might be obscure that you might want to watch them. Mel Gibson in Hamlet, In Dreams, American Ninja 2, and I know that guy's name. So if you are too cheap for Netflix or Amazon or Hulu, here's one place that you can catch some lesser known movies. All right, Art, what do you have next? Oh, and also Masters of the Universe.
Nice. Well, that's up on Netflix right now, too. So
right.
That just got done on How Did This Get Made? And I'm like, man, I need to go watch that again, because
mm-hmm.
that's a terrible movie.
Yeah. I've never laughed so hard in my life.
It's just, oh, my goodness. So bad. So, so bad. Okay. So Miles Morales in the Spider-Man reboot. The director just said a few words on it. So he was asked about it again. That is... John Watts, the director of the upcoming Spider-Man reboot. They asked him about the possibility of Morales, who is now the Ultimate Spider-Man, started doing that in 2011. But the quote is, "I can't talk about that because, you know, that would reveal too much. We're still writing the story. We haven't finished all the way through the story yet, so who knows?" So it's kind of ambiguous, but he didn't outright say no. He says, you know, that will reveal too much. So maybe he won't be the focus, but maybe there in the background or there in a minor role, ready to take up the suit if called to, or if they think that might be a better direction for the movie. I don't know. But I just like the idea, and I hope something comes of it.
All right. Well, I'm gonna continue with Marvel. I have actually two mini stories. First one is that Thor 3 has found a director.
Okay.
All right. So I'm just going to apologize in advance.
Uh-oh.
Because of this guy's name. And I think he's a Kiwi.
Ah.
His name is Taika Waititi.
Okay. That sounds good.
Okay.
Rolls off the tongue.
All right. So how did he land Thor 3? Well, he co-wrote and co-directed almost an instant cult classic that came out last year. It's called What We Do in the Shadows, which is a mockumentary about these vampires that I've heard is supposed to be hilarious. So they've given him the keys to Thor 3, and you know, some people are saying that, you know, what are they doing? But they kind of have a good track record with no names.
Yeah.
They said they gave comedy directors Joe and Anthony Russo Winter Soldier, and now they're taking over the Avengers movies.
Right.
So, and then also James Gunn, who did a great job Guardians of the Galaxy, even though he hasn't really handled a movie of the scope before.
Right. I don't have a problem with this, because, I mean, yeah. The Thor side of things, I really feel, is the weakest side of the franchise. So it's the best place to take a gamble. You know, it's like, okay, sure, throw this guy on it. Let's see what he's got. You know, it's like you've got nowhere to go but up at this point for the Thor movies. Because I thought they've just been, well, I suppose they could get worse, because, you know, they were just okay. So I suppose they could go from okay to terrible, but I find that highly unlikely.
No, I really enjoyed the first one. Second one, I mean, it was okay. The Dark Elves were a little on the strange side, kind of thing. All right, and then my other story is, you mentioned Jessica Jones, and it seems like the hype machine is cranked up to 11 right now for Jessica Jones, because you were talking about you and Brittany watching the teaser trailers that are out.
Yes.
And there's actually a free new comic that you can get on Comixology that kind of explains what she's doing in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Okay.
Kind of thing. So if you are so inclined, I'm sure you could find that on the internet somewhere.
Yeah.
I found there's another article talking about like the full background of Jessica Jones in the comics. And it's going to be interesting, because they could go, it seems like, a billion ways. And it always seems like that her and Luke Cage have to get together. But considering, you know, it's the MCU, that might not happen.
Right, yeah.
You know?
I mean, look at, because, and even, because like Captain America and Natasha ended up together. In the comics. And I'm not sure if that's in the regular comics or if that was in the Ultimates universe and blah, 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 blah. But it's like, they're clearly moving away from that.
One of the audio dramas that I've bought from Graphic Audio was the New Avengers Breakout. Actually, they have Hawkeye and Natasha together.
Right.
And the New Avengers, Luke Cage is one of the New Avengers. And Jessica Jones, a very pregnant Jessica Jones, ends up in a couple scenes. And actually, there's a part in the story where Purple Man, you know, there's a huge breakout of this prison, and they come across Purple Man, which is, you know, going to be the main villain for this Netflix series.
Right.
So that was kind of interesting. So yeah, I as usual, I'm excited. Art,
yes.
What do you got next?
All right. So I'm going to get back on my rock track. So I just saw the Disney's Moana gives fans the first look at their Hawaiian princess. So I thought this sounds really interesting. Where is it? They're just talking about the girl that they signed to play the princess. She was she's a teenager in high school. She was one of the last people they auditioned for the day. But Here's where it got interesting. Disney is certainly hoping that Moana will follow in the footsteps of the studio's recent animated epic Frozen, which not only became a pop culture phenomenon in 2013 while ranking in $1.3 billion at the box office worldwide, became the highest grossing animated film of all time, blah, blah, blah. But it follows the girl's adventure to become a wayfinder, and she teams up with Oahu, a fallen god played by Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Mm-hmm. So I've seen some of the stills for this, and I'm very excited. And I think they were talking end of 2016? Thanksgiving 2016. So that's more than a year off. But Hawaiian Disney Princess sounds good to me.
Yeah.
Did you ever play or you ever heard of Mark of Kree?
No.
Okay, it was a PS2 game. It had a lot of Pacific Island, American Indian influences. And this movie kind of reminds me of that kind of a look. But anyway, that's what I got there.
All right, here's my last story. Bridge of Spies is coming out in a couple weeks. And there was this article that I found on scottfeinberg.com. And it talks about the relationship between Steven Spielberg and the Academy. And it's actually pretty fascinating on how snubbed Mr. Spielberg has been by the Academy.
Right.
So apparently he has been nominated for Best Director 7 times, and he's won twice. I think one for Schindler's List, and I just blanked on the other one. Mm. But anyways, some of the highlights of his career as far as Oscars were concerned, like Catch Me If You Can, it only had 2 Oscar nominations. But didn't win either of them. But the biggest one was The Color Purple. 11 Oscar nominations. Didn't win a single one.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. And, you know, he was 29 when he did 1975 Jaws. It won 3 Oscars, but not Best Director. A few years later, Spielberg earned his first Best Director nomination for 1977 Close Encounters of the Third Kind, but he lost to Woody Allen in Annie Hall. Similarly, 1981's Raiders of the Lost Ark, huge box office success, second Best Director nomination. He lost out to Warren Beatty in Reds. Oh, here it is. His 2 wins were for Schindler's List and 1998 Saving Private Ryan, and he has a 3rd Oscar because he got the Irving J. Thalberg Memorial Award. But yeah, it's pretty crazy. I don't know what he did, but he is not. He's not on the good side.
Yeah, I don't know. Upset the wrong person.
Lincoln, a couple years ago, earned 12 Oscar nominations, but they got 2.
Wow.
Best Actor and Best Production Design. So, yeah. All right, that's enough about Spielberg. Art, what do you got next?
All right, this is my last story, and this is purely for comedic purposes. James Gunn will sneak this alien species into Guardians of the Galaxy. So, thanks to the power of the internet, we'll be seeing at least one sneeper in Guardians of the Galaxy. Now, what is a sneeper, you ask? It's an alien race in the Marvel Universe whose name in Icelandic means, well, clitoris. So James was trying to get them into the movie, and Marvel's legal department said, no, go do something else. And he mentioned it on Twitter, and the internet exploded, and so Marvel reconsidered, and so now we will be seeing a sneeper in Guardians of the Galaxy 2. And wow. I thought that was funny.
Yeah, and there's also, James Gunn has also said that there is a huge Easter egg in Guardians of the Galaxy that no one's figured out yet. I have no shot in figuring it out, so I'm just going to forget it. But
right.
Yeah. All right. So.
Wait. There's an Easter egg that nobody's figured out. The problem is he's basing that on a different cut of the movie that we didn't see, and he just doesn't realize that yet. No.
Oh, okay.
Wait, that scene's on the cutting room floor? You mean nobody's seen that scene? Oh, yeah. That's why they haven't figured it out.
Well, I thought you were going to make a complicated art, but apparently not.
No.
All right. So that will bring this episode of Backseat Box Office to a close. Everyone out there, thank you for listening. We will be back next week with another show. So take it easy. Go see a movie. Take care of yourselves.